Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and you need to be happy, happy, happy. That's right, be happy. Don't frown. Be happy. You'll feel a whole lot better, that's for sure. Anyway, yeah, we're back. Yeah, we took yesterday off. We had some things we needed to take care of, but we're back and ready to rock and roll. That's for sure. So I hope y'all ready as well. All right. So if you want to participate in the show today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in our chat room where the conversation is always something different. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate, and we look forward to hearing from you today. Ah, man, I tell you, what a great, great day it is. It's always a good day to be alive. Y'all know that. I'm telling you, it's always a good day to be breathing. Oh, that's the way I look at it anyway. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but yeah, I have to get the grief, be glad to be breathing on. Divine and Design in the chat room, what's going on? Welcome to the show, guest 1365. I see you just popped in there. All right. So we got them slowly coming in, but they are coming. All right. Well, you know, I tell you, man, I am ready for a great show. Today, man, I'm telling you, we got a show that I think everybody can learn a little bit from, and I really do. And hopefully, you know, we're not trying to, how can I say, we're not trying to tell you anything. We're not trying to get you to, I guess you say, believe. We just put some information out there for you because I think somehow we do need to go ahead and put a little information out so you understand a little bit about this word that's constantly used, not only on my show, but on Blog Talk Radio as well. And that's that word narcissism. You know, you always hear that word very prominently said on shows or throughout Blog Talk Radio. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I really hadn't never heard the word until I started doing Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, it was just one of those things that I was like, okay, yeah, we need to talk about this. Me and my co-host got together, and we decided it's time to, you know, build a foundation so we'll understand what narcissism is, how it works, and, you know, in society, in our society today, you know, is our society a narcissistic society? Well, those are some of the things we're going to cover. You know, we're going to look at it from the societal part first. before we, you know, get into the, any other deep, deep parts of the show, all right, of the conversation. Now, before we get going, I got to put this disclaimer out there, and my co-host, with her beautiful self, she made sure I did this. So let me go on and throw it out there real fast. Hold on. The contents of this broadcast are not meant to substitute for professional help and counseling. The listeners are discouraged from using it for diagnostic and therapeutic ends. The diagnosis and treatment of a narcissistic personality disorder can only be done by a professional specifically trained and qualified to do so, which the host are not. All right? So that's the disclaimer. So, hey, we just put it out there now. We're not telling you we professionals in it, because we're not. You know, we just radio hosts that want to put the information out there to you. You know, if you want to get in, dig in that, you know, go and see your psychiatrist, psychologist, your dog, your puppy, your cat, your fish. Hell, talk to yourself if you want to figure it out a little bit deeper. But that's what we're talking about today. So now that I have put that out there, we're good to go. All right. Anyway, let me get off that trip thing. All right. Let's see. So now, without further ado, let me bring this lady in here who always keeps me on my toes. Hey, she sends me some great information that I have the chance of putting out there to you. And you know what? She is marvelous. And I can't see me doing the show without her anymore. You know, sometimes I wonder how I got this far without her on the show. But anyway, without further ado, let me bring my beautiful co-host in, Sister Ngoni. Ow. I like doing that. Sister Ngoni, you there?
I'm here. You like crucifying my name, do you?
Well,
you're gonna have
purposely.
People call me ow. That's not my name. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I want to say greetings to Divine Design in the chat room and everybody, but I want to tell Miss Divine Design she need to put a comma between Mrs. Talk and Cole.
Yeah. okay. All right. Yeah. okay. I think that was just a slip of the fingers on that one. That's all I'm saying. I think they didn't mean anything by it.
I just got to pay my respects because I'm not Mrs. Talk.
Well, that's true. That is very true.
Right.
maybe in another life, but not this one.
That's right.
Let me stop. Oh man. So you ready for this great show we got for them today?
I'm telling you, Eric, I'm so full. I have been watching and listening and reading since yesterday, since we talked. Woo, my head is just full. So,
I know,
hope
right?
We have a conversation. I hope the guests will find it of interest and we can have a real nice dialogue. That's what I'm looking forward to anyway. The exploration and discovery of whatever it is we can discover.
Yeah, there you go. I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
I really did. You put that very eloquently and nice. But anyway, so yeah, we got a couple of clips we're going to play throughout the show. And, you know, we're going to give our little take and spill on things and, you know, lay this foundation. So for the next couple of days when we're talking about it, nobody feels like they're lost or don't know what we're talking about. You know, I think that's the way we do it. It works for me anyway. You know, and you know what? In doing a lot of reading and research, you know, I find out some interesting stuff myself, you know, and especially where narcissism came from originally. And I wasn't aware of this. I'm like, wow. So I'm sure a lot of other people aren't aware of it either. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. You know, just a little food for thought, y'all. Food for thought. You know, so that's what we're going to do. Well, it's about that time to get this jazz mixed on because it's Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to go back a day. It's Wednesday, and you know my co-host, she loves her some jazz, so we designate the day Wednesday, a jazz day, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I think I got some good stuff in here for today. I think she's going to like it. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, your jazz mix. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, that was your Wednesday Jazz Mix. I'm telling you, I hope you liked it. I did. We had a little Paul Hardcastle at the beginning. Paul Hardcastle. Oh, I know somebody like that. Then we had a group called the Whatnots. They had a couple of hits in 1981. Then, of course, we had the incomparable George Benson on the line also. So that was your Jazz Mix, y'all. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Because I was rocking out a little bit. I was doing my little skate thing. And, you know, I started skating backwards. And, you know, then I just slowly rolled to the end. Wow. I'm tripping, y'all. But it's okay. We got it going on. Co-host, did you like it? Did you like it, co-host?
I enjoyed it tremendously. Anything by Paul Hardcastle, and I like the other ones too, but especially the one by Paul Hardcastle because it reminded me of my trip to Hilton Head Island some years ago.
Oh. That was, you know,
yeah, that took me on a journey. It's down memory
lane. Not down memory lane. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's when you know it's a good song, when it can take you back down memory lane and leave you smiling.
And you know what else?
What else?
What I was getting ready to say was, I think it's lucky that today's Wednesday, that today is Jazz Day, on the same day that we're going to talk about this heady topic.
Ah, I'm telling you, great minds thinking like I was thinking the same thing as the music was playing. I'm like, yeah, that was pretty interesting. Hey, it's a good time for it. You know, I see we got Robert M. Barber in the house today and enjoying life has joined us. Then we have guests 1365, 1388, 1400, and 1402. Everybody that is in the house, welcome to the show. Hope y'all enjoy it. I see the switchboard is firing up a little bit. So, y'all, thank you for calling in. Also, me and Sister Ngoni, we enjoy it. We enjoy it. Oh, I see somebody changed my typing, too. But it's okay. I understand. I'd rather get it right than wrong. All right, y'all. Are y'all about ready? We're going to get to the quarter of the day here in a few minutes. But, hey, y'all heard about that fire in New York where the two buildings collapsed? Man, I'm telling you, you just don't know what's going on, huh? I tell you, I hope everybody's all right in that thing there, man. Boy, you know, that's something you just can't control, I guess. Well, you can control it. But, you know, that kind of goes back to what I was saying about the airplane, you know. If it's your time, it's your time. I don't care what's going to happen. You know, what you try to do, it's going to happen. So I hope everything all right. Sister Ngoni, have you heard anything further about what's going on in New York?
Not since I checked, and it said that we're two dead and that there was 20 hurt. That's the last word I heard on it. I saw it's in East Harlem. Now, is East Harlem where they took over and made all the, when they came in and made over all the condos and things like that? Or do you know what part of Harlem that is?
I really don't know what part of Harlem that is. But from what I understood, it was like offices on the bottom and apartments and stuff on the top. So it may have been that area. No, I'm not for sure, but I don't know.
Which one? Bill Clinton went in there and bought some property, and then
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It may have been. It may have been. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, it's some. You know, and like we were saying the other day, you know, every day somebody's leaving this earth. You know what I mean? Somebody's leaving this physical plane and headed to the spiritual plane. So my condolences goes out to those families, and I hope everybody that's hurt survive. All right? So we have said that. Now, it's about time for that quote of the day, y'all, that quote of the day. But you know what? We got to get this commercial in first. So what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and knock the commercial out. And then on the other end, we're going to hear my beautiful co-host with the quote of the day. And we're going to get into the conversation. So see y'all on the other side.
With your credit. It doesn't matter if it's late payment, bankruptcy, collections, and more. At United Credit Education Services, we guarantee to have you straightened out in as little as 45 days. Give us a call at 580-678-8257. Ask for Dorsetta or go to www.myfes.net/DDavis23. That's www.myfes.net/DDAVIS23.
All right, y'all. And that was the commercial. Hey, if you need to have your credit straightened out, give Dorsetta a call. And I'm sure she'll be able to square you away. And the number again is 580-678-8257. Just ask for Dorsetta. Okay. I'm going to place the link into the chat room. So in case y'all want to go and check that out as well, you can. Oh, there's so we can have fun. All right, I see JC is in the house, so that's a good thing. All right, so now y'all, are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? My co-host is ready. I know she got a deep one for us today because we gonna have us a deep conversation. So without further ado, here it is, y'all, the quote of the day.
The discovery of truth is prevented more effectively, not by the false appearance things present and which mislead into error, not directly by weakness of the reasoning powers, but by preconceived opinion, by prejudice. And that quote is by Arthur Schopenhauer.
All right. Hey, it's just a job getting that last name done.
Yeah.
Congratulations. All right. The discovery of truth is prevented more effectively, not by the false appearance things present and which mislead into error, not directly by weakness of the reasoning powers, but by the preconceived opinion by prejudice. All right. You know what? Ooh, Lord have mercy. That's a good one there. The preconceived opinion by prejudice. Wow. I'm looking at it and say the preconceived, that means your mind is already made up. And that becomes your weakness. Huh, interesting. Interesting. What you think about that, Sister Ngona? Because I know you probably got a different take on it than I do. So what's your take on it?
Actually, I don't have a different take. I think it's pretty self-evident, and your take on it is right on target. We're on the same vibration.
All right. We're on the same vibration. That means what? Our vibration levels is in sync. All right, let me stop. All right, so anyway, Anyway, here we go. All right, today we talk about narcissism in society. Right now we're going to concentrate on American society, but you know we can stretch it out to across the pond as well. But we're going to get on with it, because I think this is very interesting topic, and also I think it's very informative as well. You know, especially for those that may be on your jobs or, you know, dealing with a lot of craziness, you just may shed a little light into what you have going on around you, hopefully. Now, as we mentioned before earlier in the show, we are not doctors or psychiatrists or anything like that. So, you know, we're not giving you any type of medical advice, okay? However, we're just giving you information, all right? And so we have to put that out there, because I don't want y'all to go to your doctor and say, Mr. Talk said. Yeah, right. No. See, because I have to beat up you and your doctor. Oh, Lord, let me stop. Okay, I ain't take my medication today, y'all. I'm sorry. But anyway, here we go. Narcissism. Now, you know, as I mentioned before, man, there's a lot of the use of the word narcissist on Blog Talk Radio. You know, I mean, I really had never heard it at all until I started doing these shows. But I was thinking about it, and what is narcissism, you know? What is narcissism, and where did it come from? You know, what is the origin of it? So, now, apparently, in Greek mythology, there was a guy named Narcissus. Uh-huh. And, because of his indifference and disdain toward others, he was punished by the gods for falling in love with his own image. Y'all listen to these words. That's interesting. He was so enraptured by his beauty that he was unable to pull himself away from his own reflection, and he wasted away and died. You know, now, according to recent research, narcissists has spawned many offspring in our current generation, and narcissism is alive and well and living in America. Okay, I'm sorry. Just so we are all on the same wavelength, narcissism is a personality characteristic associated with self-absorption, egocentrism, and overestimation of one's own importance and abilities, a sense of entitlement, and a disregard for others. Now, man, doesn't that sound like our government? Don't that sound like our government a little bit? Now, you know, the put, I guess, a face on what we're talking about, you can think of people like Charlie Sheen, Terrell Owens, and Kanye West. No, those just three people that really, really demonstrate narcissism, you know, that are really narcissists, because they're all about themselves, for real. Especially that last one, man. I ain't going to go any further with that. But anyway, so that's where narcissism came from, narcissists or narcissism came from. All right, just so y'all know further information. But, you know, that last line, though, about self-absorption, egocentrism, and overestimation of one's own importance and abilities, that sounds like America. It really does. That really sounds like America. The government, I should say government, because I know my co-host is going to beat me up if I keep saying that. Oh, yeah, don't forget Hitlery. That's right, don't forget Hitlery. But, yeah, so, you know, that's a background. And if you really look at it, you know, because, you know, the United States, we think we all that in a bag of popcorn. You know what I mean? We really do. And it's interesting, because when I was overseas, you know, in Germany, only thing we used to say when we was getting ready to come back was, man, I can't wait to get back to the real world. So what really made America the real world? You know, but you know, that's just our own egotism, egos thinking that America is the only real world, you know, only real place on this earth, you know, which, you know, just feeds into more, narcissism of the society that we're being taught. You know, be it that it's subconsciously being done, but we all fall into it. There's no one that hasn't fallen into it. And there's some of y'all still falling into it. But I'm not going to go ahead and what I was saying, monopolize the conversation, because y'all know I can go sometimes. But I want to play this clip. Well, hold on. I want to get my co-host take on it first, and then I'm going to play this clip for y'all. Co-host, what you got to say?
Well, nothing right now. I think it, you know, I think when we get finished with the clip, it'd probably be a good idea to talk about the indicators, mm-hmm. or I guess the proper term to say, of, you know, of narcissistic behavior.
Okay. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to play the narcissist language. No, that's the clip I was going to play. Or should I play
Great.
American? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play Narcissist Language. It's about an 8-minute clip, and when we're finished, we'll be back, and we're going to talk about this, all right? So here we go.
My name is Stan Vakni. I'm the author of Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. In the narcissist's surrealistic world, even language is pathologized. It mutates into a weapon of self-defense, a verbal fortification, a medium without a message, replacing words with duplicitous and ambiguous vocables. The narcissist, and often by contagion his unfortunate victims, he doesn't talk, he does not communicate, he fends off, he hides, and evades, and avoids, and disguises. In the planet of capricious and arbitrary unpredictability that the narcissist inhabits, there are only shifting semantic and semiotic dunes. The narcissist perfects the ability to say nothing in lengthy Fidel Castro-like speeches. The narcissist's speech is impregnated and dense with first-person pronouns. I, me, my, mine. I call it pronoun density. The ensuing convoluted sentences are arabesques of meaninglessness, acrobatics of evasion, lack of commitment elevated to an ideology. The narcissist prefers to wait and see what waiting brings. It is the postponement of the inevitable that leads to the inevitability of postponement as a strategy of survival. It is often impossible to really understand the narcissist. The evasive syntax fast deteriorates into ever more labyrinthine structures. The grammar is tortured to produce the verbal Doppler shifts, essential to disguise the source of the information, its distance from reality, the speed of its degeneration into rigid official versions. Narcissist is completely incomprehensible most of the time. Buried under the lush flora and fauna of idioms without an end, the language erupts like some exotic skin rash, an autoimmune reaction to its infection and contamination by the narcissist. Like vile weeds, the narcissist's language spreads throughout, strangling with absent-minded persistence the ability to understand, to feel, to agree, to emote, to disagree, to debate, to present arguments, to compare notes, to learn, to teach. The narcissist makes all these completely impossible because of his abuse of language. Narcissists, therefore, never talk to others. Rather, they talk at others, or they lecture them. They exchange subtexts, camouflage wrapped by elaborate, florid texts. They read between the lines, spawning a multitude of private languages, prejudices, superstitions, conspiracy theories, rumors, phobias, and hysterias. This is the world of the narcissist. Paranoid, solipsistic, where communication is permitted only with oneself, and the aim of language is to throw others off the scent or to obtain narcissistic supply, of course. This maltreatment of language has profound implications. Communication through unequivocal, unambiguous, information-rich symbol systems is such an integral and crucial part of our world that its absence is not postulated even in the remotest galaxies which grace the skies of science fiction. In this sense, narcissists are nothing short of aliens, extraterrestrials. It is not that they employ a different language, a code to be deciphered by a new Freud or a supercomputer. It is also not the outcome of upbringing or social cultural background. It is the fact that language is put by narcissists to a different use, not to communicate, but to obscure, not to share, but to abstain, not to learn, but to defend and resist, not to reach out, but to persevere over less tenable monopolies, to disagree without incurring wrath, to criticize without commitment, to agree without appearing to do so. Thus, an agreement with a narcissist is a vague expression of intent at a given moment, rather than a clear listing of long-term, ironclad, and mutual commitments. The rules that govern the narcissist universe are loopholed incomprehensibles, open to interpretations so wide and so self-contradictory that it renders them meaningless. The narcissist often hangs himself by his own verbose Gordic knots, having stumbled through a minefield of logical fallacies and having endured self-inflicted inconsistencies. Unfinished sentences hover in the air like vapor above a semantic swamp. In the case of the inverted narcissist, who was suppressed and abused by overbearing caregivers, there is the strong urge not to offend. Intimacy and interdependence are great. Parental or peer pressure are irresistible and result in conformity and self-deprecation. Aggressive tendencies, strongly repressed in the social pressure cooker, teem under the veneer of forced civility and violent politeness. Constructive ambiguity, a non-committal, everyone is good and right, an atavistic variant of moral relativism, and tolerance bred of fear and contempt, they are all at the service of this eternal vigilance against aggressive drives, at the disposal of a never-ending inner peacekeeping mission. This is the inverted narcissist, a suppressed narcissist. But with a classic narcissist, language is used cruelly and ruthlessly to ensnare one's enemies, to sow confusion and panic, to move others to emulate the narcissist. This is called projective identification. To leave the listeners in doubt, in hesitation, in paralysis, to gain control, to punish, these are the uses of the language. Language is enslaved and forced to lie. The language is appropriate and expropriate. It is considered to be a weapon, an asset, a piece of lethal property, a traitorous mistress to be gang-raped into submission. With cerebral narcissists, language is a lover. The infatuation with its very sound leads to pyrotechnic type of speech, sacrifices its meaning to its music. Its speakers pay more attention to the composition than to the content. They are swept by the language, intoxicated by its perfection, inebriated by the spiraling complexity of its forms. Here, language is an inflammatory process. It attacks the very tissues of the narcissist's relationships with artistic fierceness. It invades the healthy cells of reason and logic and communication, of cool-headed argumentation and level-headed debate. Language is a leading indicator of the psychological and institutional health of social units such as the family or the workplace. Social capital can often be measured in cognitive and hence verbolingual terms. To monitor the level of comprehensibility and lucidity of texts is to study the degree of sanity of family members, co-workers, friends, spouses, mates, and colleagues. There can exist no hail society without unambiguous speech, without clear communications, without the traffic of idioms and content that is an inseparable part of every social contract. Our language determines how we perceive our world. It is our mind and our consciousness. The narcissist in this respect is a great social menace, undermining language itself.
All right. That's one heck of a clip. I don't know. Did y'all really hear what he was saying, though? I know I'm reading the chat room and a whole lot of other stuff going on, but did y'all really hear? And I'm sorry, that was Dr. Viktor Frankl, and he's the founder of Logotherapy Movement. So that's who was speaking then. You know, he's Russian, so That's why he had the little accent to the thing. But did you hear what the man was actually saying? You know, I mean, he really put some things out there that we can, oh, I'm sorry, that was Sam Vulcan. My bad, wrong person. That was Sam Vulcan. But he really put some stuff out there. He really did. So, you know, we really need to pay attention to that. But let me bring my co-host in, because we were going to talk about this thing before I played the clip. And we're going to break it down a little bit for y'all so you really understand what he meant and what he was saying. Co-host, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Eric.
Okay. All right. So, so before I bring anybody else in on the call, on the switchboard, on the conversation, so what do you, listening to Sam Vulcan, what do you think he was actually saying? You know, we let's put it in layman's terms so, you know, our audience can actually understand, you know, basically what he was saying.
Well, what I got out of it was that he was explaining how the language of narcissism in our society is a menace to society because it doesn't allow us to have open, honest, empathetic dialogue. Even in the family, he mentioned, you know, if you can't talk honestly and openly and have open dialogue with other human beings, then naturally the society is going to, you know, be affected by that. I mean, you know, you can take an example of, you know, how some people live in larger cities, you know, where everybody walks past each other and nobody really, you know, really connects and that kind of thing. It's kind of a cold type of environment. And it, I listened to several of Dr. Sam Vaknin's videos, and he points out that this society, or not just this society in America, but Western societies in general are experiencing an epidemic in narcissistic behavior because the societies reward it. It's those who don't have empathy and compassion for other people that make it to the top. I mean, look at Wall Street. They were rewarded with bailouts when they stole billions and billions and trillions, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so what did they come up with? Euphemisms like too big to fail to excuse it?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's good enough. I don't want to go on and on, but...
No, I mean, that's what we're here to do today, go on and on, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean...
Does that make
I mean,
any sense to you?
Yes, you made a whole lot. Uh-oh, my bad. Go ahead and finish.
No, that's okay, Eric. I was just asking if my feedback, you know, resonated with you, what you heard from the clip, because we all hear things differently, and the things that stuck out for me, I took a couple of notes down, and the first thing that came to my mind was, when he was talking about their language, was politicians. I mean, the Supreme Court in this country has ruled that politicians can't be held accountable for their political speeches. They can promise you anything, but they can't be held accountable when they take office and they don't deliver. So that's an example of how narcissism is affecting the society.
Wow. You know what? And I agree with you 100%, because that's basically what I got out of it. Got out of it as well. You know.
And there's one other point. Go ahead. Finish first.
No, I was saying, just like you, I thought about the politicians, our government, and just when you mentioned how we can walk by people in our own city and not even say anything to each other, you know, because it's just a normal thing to do. You know, I'm in total agreement with you because, you know, every day we see it, but we don't see it. You kind of understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of us don't know what to look for, number one. And the ones that do know what to look for, we just overlook it. You know, we just overlook it and just go on and say, okay, that's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll finish. Yes.
Okay. The other thing that came to my mind, I'm listening to the clip, was the press that we have today. We don't have an open and honest press. We're not getting honest information. We're getting propaganda. So, you know, that's the connection I, you know, with the clip when he was describing the kind of language that's a menace to society.
Hmm.
And you talk about us not recognizing, well, it's been said that those who have narcissistic tendencies, and we all do, because there's healthy narcissism, but what we're discussing today is pathological narcissism, correct?
Correct.
And correct. From what I understand, there, in order to point out a unhealthy or a pathological narcissist behavior, it means there has to be a cluster of behaviors, not just one. I mean, you can have a jerk, or you can have someone that's just arrogant. You can have someone that's, characteristics, spoiled brat, whatever, you see. But that doesn't make them a narcissist. There has to be a cluster of behaviors. And according to Dr. Sam Vatanen, if there are 9 characteristics, then they are considered to be full-blown narcissists. And there's something called a primary narcissist, which some people say would represent the royalty or the blue bloods of the earth. And then there's secondary narcissistic behavior, which is learned behavior from societal conditioning. And they say that in Western societies that narcissistic behavior is becoming epidemic because it's being rewarded. And the difference between someone who's narcissistic and someone who's not, and why we're not able to recognize it, is because they don't have empathy with other people. They recognize us more than we recognize them.
Mm. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because,
that's the...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish.
They've done MRIs, and they have documented that the actual brain chemistry, or the way the brain fires, is different in narcissists and psychopaths than it is in what, quote, normal human beings is. And the difference is that there's damage to the limbic part of the brain where you feel emotions. They literally cannot feel empathy or compassion. They cannot feel it. They don't experience it. Mm. Now, it's said that they are very good imitators.
Mm-hmm.
They imitate
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't actually have any feelings. And I would like to give an example, but I don't want to offend. So
go ahead and give you an example.
Earlier today when you and I talked, I mean, right. it takes very psychopathic, narcissistic personality to sit down at a big conference table and plan the death of millions of people through war. That's a good example for me.
Okay. Are you through? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You said it like that. Okay. And you know what? Thinking about it, I agree. Even though I was a part of the military, I do agree. You know, and you know, it's one of those things. Once it comes down, it's an order. You got to abide by it. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to abide by it. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. H2O says, a politician not keeping a promise, campaign promise, is not narcissism, has nothing to do with narcissism. He or she is just a plain liar. Well, you know, it's basically... Okay, go ahead. I was going to respond, but you go do it. Go ahead.
That's another indicator of narcissism. They are habitual liars.
Yep. Exactly. You know, and they're not going to, they refuse to accept responsibility for the consequences of their actions. So they can tell you anything, but they're not going to say, accept that, okay, I did say that and now we're not doing it now. But that is another part of a characteristic of a narcissist or go ahead. I see you.
And the fact that the Supreme Court ruled that that's okay, now that says something about society to me.
Yes, it did. Yes, it does. I tell you. Oh, Lord, I do. I see. All right, I see we got some hands flying in the air. They waving them like they just don't care. Hey. All right. Anyway, so let me bring Mr. Vernon and Mr. Wesley in the house.
All right, how's it going?
All right, Mr. Vernon and Mr. Wesley, how y'all doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, my brother. I'm glad that y'all are breaking up this subject, man, because I try to look take a cerebral and intellectual critical analysis.
Let me get out of here, man.
Critical analysis of the subject, right. And one, making it personal. I don't know if something wrong with Blog Talk, but I've been talking to a lot of your callers, and it seemed to me that some of us have been getting muted periodically, man, in the middle of our conversations. I don't know if that's Blog Talk or somebody playing with the button, but i.e., the subject of narcissism, would y'all say this white colonization, this paranoid, schizophrenic, caucasoids running around this planet, creating narcissistic tendencies? And the other question is, I think we, the people of Melanin, if we can get more narcissists toward the group, i.e., advancing ourselves, and quit another word I think y'all should check into is necro. That's the root word of negro. They come up with necro, considering us dead. And I'd like to y'all respond on that conversation before I get muted.
Okay, Wesley, how are you doing today?
I'm well.
That's good. Well, before I address the many things that you just presented, let me address the muting. We have rules that Mr. Talk hasn't gone over today, and this would probably be a good time for him to do that. Mr. Talk doesn't want us to yell over each other anymore, and we want to have some nice dialogue, and we want the conversation to flow. So the policy is, if that's not happening, you will get muted. There will be no personal attacks. That will get you kicked. So these are not my rules. These are Mr. Talk's rules. And as his co-host, I follow those rules as best I can. I'm not perfect. And my job is to be a co-host and to mute when necessary. Does that explain the situation, Wesley?
Well, I guess so. The one who got the button control it. But I remember Mr. Talk used to put people in the green room when they get a little out of line. But,
okay, let me get in here real fast. Let me get in here real fast before we get way off target. All right, here's the thing. All right, here's the thing. If you're talking over each other and nobody can hear what's going on, I'm going to mute you. My co-host is going to mute you. If someone talking and you keep breaking in on them, you're going to get muted. All right, it's just that simple. You know, there's no leeway. If you're arguing with someone and y'all just don't want to stop, then you go into the green room and y'all can argue all day long till y'all turn blue, throw up on each other, whatever. Okay? But we're not having that anymore. This is not the drag out, fight them, knock them out show anymore. Okay? We're trying to have a very adult-like conversations and dialogue, all right? And so that's where that is with the muting there, Wesley, you know. And, yes, my co-host mutes a lot of people, and I tell her to mute a lot of people. You know, we have to learn to respect each other, even when we're having a dialogue. We have to do this so we can get some points across without sounding like we back on the block somewhere screaming and yelling at each other over nothing. All right? So that's all that is. Now, as far as your question, I'm going to let my co-host go ahead and answer it first, and I'll be behind her, okay? So go ahead, Sister Ngoni.
Honestly, I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Well, re-ask your question, Wesley.
Well, my question is, with this advanced colonization of these paranoid, schizoid, caucasoids running and wreaking havoc on the planet, that's the epitome. White supremacy is the epitome of this word that y'all was using, this narcissistic tendencies. And I think if black people would start as collectively coming up with narcissistic tendencies where we are, start acting as a whole, as a unit, we can advance ourselves and get out of this word of necrophilia. I mean, necro mean they use the necro mean negro mean dead. So I think if we can get a little bit more narcissist toward our group, I think we'll advance ourselves.
Ooh. All right. Well. Now let's not get it tripped up. There is a positive side or of narcissism. It really is. And if we take the road of the positive, yes, you're right, Wesley. We probably could advance or make ourselves a better standing. However, you have, looking at the overall government and the way it's run. It'll be a battle. That's for sure. It will be a battle. Now you have to also understand, Wesley, that this thing goes back a long ways. Now you think about it. They fought a battle against against Britain and just said no, we ain't want to be ruled by them, right? But yet then we turn around and when they turn around and start ruling over the people in this country, so what was the difference? Just one set of narcissists separated from the other set and continued the same propaganda that they were fighting to get from under. I mean, does that make any sense? So, yeah. I mean, does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes plenty of sense. Then you get into the word of hypocrisy, where these people want to leave Britain for their freedom, religious and economic freedom, and to come over here and oppress and take somebody else and make somebody else they slave or subservient.
This is a true statement. Okay. All right. Co-host, you got anything you want to add?
Well, I put in the chat room that narcissism goes across ethnic groups. So it's not a black-white. Populations are affected by the secondary narcissistic behavior is learned behavior. It comes from sometimes childhood dysfunctional family and improper development, and it's sort of like a stunted development. And also you can pick up narcissistic behavior by interfacing with narcissists, because narcissists don't really have relationships, they have interfaces. And so I would like to throw out the question, like, for instance, I said there were some points that we haven't gone over yet. Like, for instance, some indicators. One is complete absence of conscience or empathy. Strongly immoral, aggressive, or callous and cunning. I don't want to just roll them all off. Maybe we could talk about them, a couple at a time. What do you think, Mr. Talk?
I think that's a great idea. I think that is a great idea. Excuse me? I'm sorry.
Want me to put them in the chat room as we talk about them?
Sure. We can do that. While you're doing that, let me bring Mr. Robert in. I know he's been waiting patiently. So let's bring him in and see what he has to say on this conversation. Now, you might want to join the conversation. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and we can make some things happen. All right, Mr. Robert, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, host and co-host. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to view and listen to your show.
Greetings, Robert.
Greetings.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you listening. So what is your take on our topic today?
It's quite prevalent, to say the least.
Okay.
I don't know how you stop it, but I always thought that the baby boomers were leading the way, and they could have, because they think more healthy now, and they spend more time in a gym, and they try to take care of their bodies, but it's a shame. It's a shame. Instead of going out and helping others solve their problems, they're looking at themselves, and I think just don't really care.
Well, Mr. Robert,
yes.
I don't mean to interrupt your thought process, but what we thought we would try to do is lay a foundation of understanding what it is first and then try to see how it operates in society and in, you know, individuals and families and communities and so forth and so on. Like, for instance, you know, if you ask yourself the question to identify some narcissistic leaders, I think Hitler would come to mind, Stalin and Lenin, you see? That's where we're trying to go with this.
Oh, okay. I figured you were going to go after the top dogs, but I think the number one thing on the list, really, and it falls right into line with what you're saying, is egotism.
Basically. Dog. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to step on anybody I can to get what I need and forget everybody else. That's the layman's terms. That's it. Doggy, doggy.
Absolutely. Now, you should know. You're a spiritualist. You know, those that have very heavy egos are going to be taken down. And their government's with them. And I think in a short period of time. So what do I think about your subject? Well, I don't think it'll be around much longer. We're now in the, they're going to be suffering and we're going to be enjoying. That's the way I'm looking at it. Their days are gone. They're just hanging on, you know, with a very thin rope right now. So I think you're going to see a big change, and you know changes are taking place. I can feel it from you. It's in your spirit. You know, if we were going to have another, you know, 20,000 years or so, what would I say would be a good answer? I think parents have got to start taking out that whip. They got to start bringing those children up right and read that Bible every single day. You know, mothers have to start reading the Word so the children can be raised in the way that is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
I see nothing wrong with that. I think too few families are actually practicing that. You know, they go to church on Sunday. Yeah, hoo-hoo, you look good. I like that new dress, you know, or that new suit, whatever. And then they go fighting the rest of the week. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, you know, dog eat dog. But as I said, right now, the way I see it, the dogs aren't going to be around much longer.
All right. Thank you for that interesting analogy, Mr. Robert. But let me bring Gregory in. I think Gregory has something he wants to add to the conversation as well. Gregory, welcome to the show today. I think you are a new caller, so we're going to show you some love.
I'm a long-time listener.
You're a long-time listener, but first-time caller. Okay, great. All right, man. So what you have to add to the show?
You know, a lot of people, you know, they ain't going out of their way, you know, to accommodate others because they're too self-absorbed. You know what I mean? Like I told you, I was at Subway, and you know, I made a mess. I could have cleaned it up, but personally, I know I'm a narcissist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I automatically know I'm better than the next person, you know? So I'm just like, you know, as I see it, better myself, you know, I'm just going to do a couple barrel rolls and, like, just try to better myself. Like, if that happens again, you know, I'm going to actually take the extra step and clean up, you know? Because I'm thinking about the other person, you know, what about that hourly employee that has to clean up if I don't, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I think everybody just needs to, you know, better themselves. I'm trying to make myself, like, I know I have a problem, you know. I know that I focus on myself more than others, you know.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good to be narcissist when you want to improve yourself and you saw you made mistakes in your life and you look in the mirror and examine your situation and say you want to make a start and change the man in the mirror for better on this planet, and that's good, positive narcissism.
But let me ask this. I'm sorry. Let me ask this question real fast. So, I know y'all talking on a personal level now, but let's spread it out a little bit to our today's society and
if we do that, then if we put everybody in a bubble, everybody's doing barrel rolls, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could break it out on you say today's society. Look at this illusion of inclusion, where so-called black people on this planet want this manumission, gratification from the slave masters, i.e., they take our black women, and they tell black women that you ugly, and y'all go to the black women go to the beauty parlor because they put in their mind that they don't add up because of melanin. The next thing you know, they put all this weave and all this stuff in their hair to make their hair
look
whatever.
Then the African-American women need to do barrel rolls, too. I'm telling you, everybody needs to do a barrel roll, or we're not all going to be on the same page.
Well, you're talking about the big group.
But let's back this up for a moment. All right, so if we're talking societal, right, society, and we all say a little bit of us have that in that. So beyond, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Wesley, with the melanin, basically, you know, black people and, you know, worshiping white people, looking up to white people, as you say. But isn't it true that it doesn't really matter as far as the color of your skin, that everyone will strongly choose to be immoral, aggressive, and callous, and cunning to get what they want? And isn't it true that everybody will be willing to manipulate someone else to get what they want, and that's true, right?
But okay, let me ask you this: if you were around someone and they, you know, they make a mess, are you going to take it upon yourself to clean up their mess?
Would I take it upon myself to clean up their mess?
Yeah.
Well, you know. That depends on the person.
Because that's literally what it comes down to, though. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody, it's a trickle effect. If it doesn't affect you, it's going to affect the next person. So
I
think what you're trying to say, Eric, that this capitalist society where the dog eat dog, and I got to step on you. Because usually it's my ladder to get to the top. And then when I get to the ladder, I snatch the ladder up.
There you go. Yeah.
There are roles for everyone.
You know, basically, if you know, we gonna do it, okay, let's manipulate, let's do whatever it takes for us to get there. And then, you know, once we get there, let's throw the ladder down, or if somebody try to climb it, you know, basically put every obstacle in the way, because I got mine and I'm not going to let you get yours if I have a choice in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's basically how our government works. If you really, politicians, they known for that kind of stuff. You know, they get theirs. Okay, who cares about the rest?
Yeah,
you know?
You could use a perfect example of Clarence Thomas and what he said, talking about, we don't need affirmative action no more, and he done sit up to the highest court on the land, and then you hear Oprah Winfrey making a commercial down here talking about nobody going to help you, you got to help yourself, and I guarantee somebody helped her to get in the position she in, man. And that's selfish narcissism epitomized in the highest function.
Yeah, that is true. All right, before I bring Miss Antoinette in, co-host, you got anything you want to add?
Not right at this moment. I'm kind of looking through my notes here.
Okay. All right. So let me bring Sister Antoinette on the line. Sister Antoinette,
sure.
How you doing? Antoinette, are you there?
Okay, while you're waiting for her to answer, maybe she stepped away. I just had a thought, okay?
Okay.
If you think about the G, how do you say this? GLBT, which is going to have to add a P because, you know, they're making pedophilia just another designation of a sexual orientation. And what that brings to my mind in regards to narcissistic behavior is that you have the priests that were found guilty of pedophilia some years ago, and no one has been brought to justice for that. There may have been some lawsuits and a little money here and money there. And then you have that Jimmy Savile, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, in the UK, that had a 30-year pedophile ring feeding little children. And in this society, you have foster homes that have the average child on 7 pharmaceutical drugs every day. They take a pill to get up and some pills to go to bed. Now, to me, that's representative of, narcissism in that it is seems to be abnormal. Correct me, you know, maybe I'm all off center here. I don't know. I'm trying to learn as I go.
Well, to go even further on that point, to expound on that point even more, I think you can add another B to that is bestiality, where these people, these narcissists care more about animals than they do about humans. That's a humanoid just like them. I mean, the way they you can get more time in Florida for going after an alligator or a sea turtle than you can for, i.e., taking down Trayvon Martin or Jordan Davis, man. And so we went from from LBJ in 1964 to LGBGT in 2004.
All right, that's that's interesting there. Wow, that's very interesting. Yes. Oh, you there, Antoinette?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had myself on mute.
Oh, okay.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In your viewpoint and Sister Agonia's viewpoint, do you know from a spiritual level, you know the scripture in Timothy where it talks about men will be lovers of themselves?
Yes.
Do you think you ever qualify as being a narcissist?
Now, that is a very, very interesting question. Well, Antoinette,
man.
Right. You know, if you look at it, oh, man, that's a good one. Because it's a couple of ways you can look at that, all right? Because basically you say man loving man is, you know, basically they talk about homosexuality, okay? If that's the case, I don't think that would qualify. Now, if it's man, you know, just and when they say loving himself, you know, he's just absorbed in self, him, you know, that's it. Yeah, and then I'll say yes, that would fall into it.
God's devotion.
Yeah.
Approval of God's power.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And as days, men will be lovers of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it would fall into that category.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
The weak women.
But see, and here's the thing when it comes to that now. You know, well, I guess it wouldn't. I guess either way, men love men, women love women. It all have to be the same because it's all about them, basically. So I would say yes, it does pertain to that also. I mean, that was a very interesting question, Antoinette. That threw me for a loop there for a hot minute.
As far as in a spiritual aspect, into the Word of God, then how would that, you know, does that scripture fit into what a narcissist is according to the spiritual level? You know, we have it on so many different levels, but can we also see it through the Bible also?
Hmm. Yes, I would say yes, we can. You know, I mean, if you, I know somebody's going to jump on me for saying this. I mean, if you really want to take it to that point, some would say God was a narcissist because he created man in his own image, right? So would that,
yeah,
would that also would also pertain to that then? So which means it started from the beginning.
But did he do it to be malicious?
I'm sorry.
Hold on, Wesley.
All right, go ahead, Antoinette.
I said, was it just out? Did he also do it out of love? You know, did he do it out of love for others? Was it just love for himself?
Wow. Now,
it's himself, and you know, it's, everything is all about them.
Yeah.
So can a narcissist really love someone?
Can a narcissist really love someone? Yeah.
According to Dr. Batkin, is a diagnosed narcissist. He's been diagnosed for, I think he said, 16 or 18 years. He's got an IQ of 185. No, they cannot love. They do not have the ability to feel the emotions because they have the inability to operate as the part of the limbic brain that allows us to experience emotions. So it's not a choice for them. It's like a disability, a physical disability.
I would call that mental illness.
Oh yeah, that's better. Yeah, you're right. That's a better option.
But getting back to the choice of the Creator now. By creating us in his image, I mean, that's DNA, man. I mean, even when you procreate and have children, you have them in your own image, right? So is that narcissist for your child to look like you?
Hello?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it. I mean, son, you don't have a choice in that, I don't think. It's just part of your DNA. But let me bring up Gregory in. Gregory, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, what you got to add?
I grew up with a friend back in the day. He actually, this nigga was so crazy. You're supposed to say how crazy is he? This dude was so crazy.
Okay.
You're supposed to say how crazy is he?
Well, no, I'm not. You both go ahead and tell me.
No, but it's part of the story, so you can understand more. So this dude was so crazy.
Uh-huh.
All right, anyways.
Okay.
Anyways, he was so crazy. He was so narcissistic, bro. Like, I'd be like, hey, let's go hang out. He's like, nah. Like, he would just stay in his room. Like, I don't know what. He would never hang out with anybody. I think a big part of being narcissistic is being alone, because you don't want to be with other people. You just want to focus on yourself. So a lot of people that are hermits or whatnot, you know, stay locked up in rooms. A lot of them are narcissistic. So some people that be pinned as shut-ins. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of them are just narcissistic. They just want to be by themselves. They don't want to go associate with other people. You know what I'm saying? They just want to be by themselves, focus on themselves.
Well, let me ask this question then. Is being wanting to be by you, totally by yourself, considered being a narcissist? Or
no.
Narcissism?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you don't want to go associate with other people. You just want to focus on yourself. You want to be by yourself. You don't want to go out in public. You want to be touched by that person. You don't want to see that person. You want to stay in a room with, you know, yourself, me, myself, and I. Who's over by the door? Hey, what's up, Brody? That's me. Who's in the mirror? Oh, Brody, that's me. You know, you ain't trying to go out and associate with other people. You're just trying to associate with number one, you know?
Is your name Gregory?
Yes, that's Gregory.
Hi, Gregory.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard when we were talking earlier, but there's a cluster of behaviors that identify narcissism.
Maybe you left that one out.
No, I'm just trying to make the point that I think, you know, and I'm not a professional or anything, but just based on what I've been reading and studying, what you're describing as a sociopath or a schizoid. Narcissism, there's healthy narcissism.
Yeah, but a lot of those people are narcissists within and of themselves, too. It all coincides.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to share some...
I mean, you just said you were, though.
No, I'm just trying to add to what you're saying, that narcissism, there are 9 criteria to identify a full-blown narcissist. If not, somebody can be a kook, they can be arrogant, they can be selfish, whatever. That doesn't make them a narcissist. Or maybe they just don't want to be bothered with anybody. Maybe they're antisocial. That doesn't make them a narcissist.
But a lot of people that are arrogant, you know, they don't want to give up that, oh, I'm wrong. You know, they want to be, I'm always right. I'm always, you know what I mean? Like, they always focus on themselves. That's a tangent of narcissism.
Well, what I'm trying to share with you, Gregory, is there's a cluster symptoms or indicators, not just one thing. That's the only thing I wanted to share with you. If you see, they say there's, you know, there's a danger of going around painting everybody or identifying everybody as a narcissist, because there's really a cluster of behaviors that identify a full-blown narcissist. And then there's also a scale, like, you know, like someone might have 2 or 3 of those behaviors, but they're not a full-blown narcissist.
You should look up, there is a professor out of Utah. His name is Jimmy Russell. He did a great paper on narcissism. And it kind of, like, what we're talking about, it kind of coincides with everything you're saying, what I'm saying. That's why I was saying that, you know what I'm saying? Because it all, like, works together. It's a trickle effect. Because one thing affects another, yet also it trickles down to the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yes, and also, according to Dr. Sam Batkin, narcissism is a progressive condition that as a person ages and if they're faced with life crises, you know, they can... it can escalate into sociopath, or like you were describing, don't want to be bothered with other people, or it could go into schizoid behavior, or it could also go into psychopathy, where there's a little bit of a criminal element that can come in there, you know. So,
yeah, but don't forget, I urge everybody in the chat room, just go check out Jimmy Russell's. He's a good professor. He knows what he's talking about. It's just funny because, you know, I was thinking, like, that's why I called back, because I was like, wow, the same thing you said in that paper was, like, the same exact thing you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that in the chat room, and thank you for that information. That's Jimmy. All right. Is that Jimmy Russell, Russell?
And with the S is plural, Russell's.
Okay. Is there a title of a book?
Wrestling. It's just a self-titled book.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
I couldn't hear what Gregory was saying.
I think he was saying it's a self-titled book. Well, you better drop them again, so. Oh, well. Anyway, I don't know. I have to disagree with that. I really do. I don't think if you just want to be, if you left alone by yourself, there's no way I think you could be a narcissist. You know, as they said in chat room, introvert, yes. You know, you don't want to be bothered, fine. But I think most narcissists, true narcissists, they're looking for somebody to siphon energy off of. You know,
yeah.
To fulfill that self-worth that they actually want to have. So, and if you being by yourself, I don't see how you can fulfill that need.
That's a good point. Mr. Talk, because that's one thing we haven't talked about, and that is the fact that what they call narcissistic supply, there's a primary narcissistic supply, and then there's secondary narcissistic supply, which is basically just attention.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
You
so
siphon off energy, or it's like, you know, energy vampire or parasite, you know, psychic vampire, because they need
right.
energy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Correct. I agree. Exactly. You know, and let's see, divine design self, narcissism, self-actualization, pride in self, promoting of self, the glorification, the ugly, the unkept, sloppy, self-indulgent, greedy, grasping, demanding generation of greatly ballooned egos. Basically, that's it. That's it right there. That's it. Okay, let's see. I got 111 on the line. Is this you, Gregory, again? You know, Gregory drops and comes back. 111, are you there? Hello. Okay, well, we waiting to see who this is. I guess they'll speak when they want to. I have another clip we're going to play, and it's called...
Were you talking to me, Mr. Talk?
Yeah, who is this, Gregory?
No, this is Mr. International.
Oh, okay. Mr. International, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, sir, and yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. All right.
That's great. And how about you, lovely co-host?
I'm doing good. Miss, I haven't been around for a while. Glad to hear you back.
It's great to be back.
Good.
Ooh. All right, Mr. International, before we let you get started, I'm going to play this clip real fast, and then when we come back, we get into the clip and your comments, okay?
Thank you.
All right. All right, y'all, this clip is called American Narcissism.
And I ended the last talk with the point of narcissism, the me syndrome, the me first syndrome. Because one of the real prices of living in a consumer society is it's not a society, it's a grouping of individuals all out trained, taught, propagandized to get their piece, to get all they can in this sort of horrible survival race where everyone else is not necessarily your friend, but they're not necessarily your enemy, but they're not necessarily your friend. And bear in mind, there are Americans I've met, at least a dozen, who don't fit into all this. What I'm talking about is the core culture, the core white predominant controlling power culture as it presents and as it is generated, about the price you pay in that and with that and from that, and I'll get to some of the things you can do to break out of it. One of the key things is to look at the issue of narcissism, and I think the narcissism in America is beyond anything I've ever encountered in the world. It basically says me first, me second, me third, me fourth, and it doesn't stop saying me. It's about I get mine. It's about the only way I relate to you is in terms of how it affects me. It's not actually about you. It's about you in orbit to me. And I suspect that this got generated largely after World War II, where America suddenly found itself as a superpower in the world, one of two superpowers. And over time, develop more and more from superpower into empire whilst in denial of that, because hey, we had a revolution against an empire called the British, so we're not going to have an empire. Oh yes, we are. And as that empire grew, we developed our sense of superiority, Americans, I identify myself often as an American. I've had the experience of that living in America, that sense that somehow we're better. And of course, it's absolute crap, but it's so supported in the culture. It so comes through the news media. It so comes from our politicians. It so comes through the classrooms and the advertising and the conversations that we are somehow superior. It even comes down to regular routine discussions in the media, on talk shows, and even on so-called news shows like CNN. The question, is an American life worth more than a non-American life? Well, obviously it is to Americans. So, I mean, just that question boggles my mind. The fact that people sit around and discuss that question seriously boggles my mind. So the narcissism, that sense of entitlement, that sense of superiority that just inculcates the culture, that educates and informs you, if you're an American, that you're somehow superior, therefore you're better, therefore what you do is right and what everyone else does is wrong. That sense of, there's a term for it, the exceptionalism of America, that we're exceptional. In fact, Americans even refer to themselves as citizens of the United States, and anyone who's not a citizen is an alien. So my joke is, I'm a double alien. I'm an alien because I'm from another country, and I'm an Australian. So I have a very alien point of view about America. But think about that. You're either in the world, which is in America. It's how soldiers in Vietnam referred to America, when we get back to the world. Or you're an alien. You're from another world. And that's how America functions narcissistically in the world, that it is superior, it is always right. And from that position of self-righteous egoism, it kills millions of people in the name of freedom and justice and democracy. And that, by the way, answers the question that's occasionally asked in the media, why America is really hated.
All right, that was Gregory Charles. He's an Australian relationship guru, and he was explaining American narcissism. So that's where that clip comes. You can find it on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in American narcissism, and his link is the first one that pops up. All right, for those that want to vet my clips. Okay, before we play the clip, though, we had Mr. International just call in. And Mr. International, we're going to give you first dibs at the clip and what else you wanted to add to the show.
Okay, thank you. I think that it starts with the first clip you played. I think it was the German speaker, and he was basically given the same definition that the last clip gave. It was more artistically put in the first. But I think what they both have a problem with is not being able to answer a question. They know what the symptoms are, but they're refusing to deal with the true answer, which is a gland that for centuries they refuse to use, and that's called the pineal gland. And as you don't activate your pineal gland correctly, and you tend to go towards one way of being, it causes calcification. When that becomes calcified like that, then the same procedure that you know is working for you, you don't have to get into the soil, the sun, you can live a certain life a certain way, and you stop using that and strengthen it like any muscle of your body, it becomes calcified. And so that's what we're dealing with today. It was stronger back then, but it's the same process that's being used. It was used in slavery. When you take away the culture of men and women, in regards to whom you are, and you give them your culture, which throughout history has proven to repeat itself over and over again, it's just that it gets on a larger scale because the majority of the men and women who are black men and black women now who have integrated into that culture, it's more prevalent because we are the majority, not the minority. So when you realize that you're the majority and the way you perceive this information and what it really truly is and see it for what it is and take the blinders off, then you'll back out of it, and it has less power. And that's basically what I wanted to state to you.
All right. You know what? I like the way you put that. I really do. I like the way you put that because it made it all – Well, to me, it made a whole lot of sense to me. You know, I know some people are like, what is he talking about? But, you know, you really put it on the nose then. Co-host, you got anything you want to add?
Well, there were some complaints in the chat room that we had too many working definitions, or we didn't have a working definition of what narcissism was. So if I may, it's brief. This is from Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited by Dr. Sam Vaknin, which I already put the link in the chat room. But it says, what is pathological narcissism? Pathological narcissism is a lifelong pattern of traits and behaviors which signify infatuation and obsession with oneself to the exclusion of all others, and the egoistic and ruthless pursuit of one's gratification, dominance, and ambition, as distinct from healthy narcissism, which we all possess. Pathological narcissism is maladaptive, rigid, persisting, and causes significant distress and functional impairment. Pathological narcissism was first described in detail by Freud in an essay on narcissism in 1914. And there are other contributors, but that's it.
You know,
so hopefully that's helpful.
Well, you know what, though? If they're complaining in the chat room, they're not really listening. I'm just going to go and put it out there. Because no matter what definition they hear or explanation here, it has one common definition or example that's given, and that's self-absorption. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. At the expense of others, not just self-absorption,
right,
at the expense of others. That's the key.
Right.
Inability to feel empathy for others, and that's the only thing that makes us different as human beings to beasts.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, mm-hmm. You can.
Also, that information, I think a lot of men and women don't realize, when they were creating these definitions, when they're created, if they're created to cause harm and identify a negative man or woman, then those identifications or those men and women that wrote that against the status quo at that time would be dead. So this information that they created was so that they could stay on the right path. These books and these words and definitions of all these characteristics, they wanted to make sure that they were able to know if they were a true narcissist. And so they studied this information from these writers. And with that, they were able to continue on and make sure, just like most men and women, they call themselves Christians or whatever the case may be, you'll study that book so that you can get your information so you can walk the correct path. But if you disagree with the Bible, and you want to protest the Bible and everything of that nature, and you have book burnings, the government's going to come in and say, nope, we're using that as a tool. You can't do it. But you can't do that to their information.
Well, Mr. International, I have a question. Who is they? You said they studied these books, or they wanted to know if they were true narcissists, if they could keep walking. Who are you talking about?
You're talking about the original ones where you're talking about narcissism in general, and those are the ones that are considered to be the Greeks. Prior to that right there, it wasn't something that even was entertained in that area. So this was something that was really new, that was brought from the kings and queens. They basically funded these trips so that this information, when they get this information, they'll know how to have it in its purest form. So they had to get the information which benefited other civilizations. And when it benefited those civilizations and the way that those civilizations use it, they flipped it. And so those are that's the beginning of all this, when they sent Ptolemy Sotarmarinum, the first Caucasian king, to Africa, to rule over Africa with this principle of how to interject narcissism by making the men and women create coins to him and statues to him. And they didn't have the same meaning, so there was a lot of men and women that were killed.
Mm. Well, so far from my reading, which is very limited, this is a phenomenon that seems to be very Western. So like Mr. Talk said at the beginning, that this came from a Greek myth, right? From a Greek myth.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But today, the secondary traits of narcissism go across all cultures.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is they imported it to other cultures. Is that what I hear you saying, Mr. International?
Not necessarily imported it, but forced it upon other cultures. And what it is as if when you can go into a culture and you can rewrite their history, and you can make all of their kings, queens, et cetera, villains or aliens and things of that nature, that's when you start first seeing the word alien or extraterrestrial, when they start digging up or not knowing the meaning of these Egyptian pharaohs and kings and queens, et cetera. And so when you flip that right there, you're not importing anything because they don't have the ability to import. They only have the ability to export. And what they're exporting is that one product.
That if I may clarify, is the behavior of abuse was imported into other cultures. So when you have Alexandra come in and kill up a whole bunch of people, that's abuse. And when you are in a war zone, that's abuse. That's trauma. And so trauma and abuse can create secondary narcissistic behaviors in populations.
Right. That's true. Right, I knew, but that's more of an export behavior as opposed to an import. You can't leave one country and enter another country and say that you're basically importing unless you have a manifestation of what you're going to do. And so when it goes back to what it was that they were exporting into these countries so that these countries could import it, there are certain things that they practiced that they had to stay with. And so this is a technique that they've used throughout the world, and that's the reason why they've exported that evil nature of just one part of what you're discussing today.
Okay, I think I follow your line of thinking, and I don't want to banter semantics with you, so we can use the word export. That's fine with me. You know, they took it.
Yeah, they that's what they do. I mean, the Bible itself says that the devil comes to kill, steal, rob, and destroy. So when you look at a culture of not just white men, but you have black men and black women with this behavior also, and say that they take on that persona of who it is that which culture they've denied and which culture that they want to have because it benefits them in certain fashions of life. And so they stick with it. And that's just another level of narcissism where they have to go ahead and bite their tongue knowing that the only reason why we have you here is not because we love you as a race, but we love you as an individual. So don't get it twisted. And so those men and women, that's another level of that in which they play that role. And, I mean, the level is ridiculous how far it actually has went.
All right. Outstanding. You know what? I have to agree with both of you. I really do. Let's see. We got 15 minutes left in the show, y'all. So if you want to continue to hear the show live after the time is up, give us a call, 347-838-8622. You have to be on the line to hear the rest of it. We will be going in overtime. All right. Let me bring Brock in. You know, blah, blah, blah. Brock is a new caller, so let me give him some love also.
Nah, my name is Brock, not Block.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Sulfur.
My bad.
Sulfur.
All right, so what you got to add to the conversation, sir?
Well, like I told you, you know, I think the reason that everybody's having a hard problem with categorizing this this narcissistic thing here is because there's so many different degrees of it. You can't put it under one certain bubble, you know? It's just like I told you, it's just like pasta. You got your penny pasta, you got your spaghetti, you got your linguine, you know? You can't just be like, oh, well, let's go eat pasta. Well, what kind of pasta do you want, you know? Well, are you a narcissist? Which kind of you get? I just think that it's so many different subgenres of it. You can't just put it under one. So everybody's, you know, putting in their 2 cents. But as for me, I got a silver dollar.
Hell, you got a silver dollar?
Yeah.
Okay. Meaning what?
What do you mean?
I mean, you say you got a silver dollar, so what does that mean?
I mean, I'm narcissistic. I'm better than everybody else, so I got a silver dollar. I'm not going to be like everybody else with the, you know, the pennies and the quarters. That's for myself. I want a silver dollar.
Oh, okay. So Well, what type of narcissistic are you?
I mean,
is it just that you feel that you just love money?
Yeah, money. For me, money is me. That's who I am. you know?
Okay.
Or I go out with my family and they say, let's go to name a restaurant, any restaurant. Throw one out there.
Oh. Okay, Outback.
Outback. All right, we're going Outback. So, you know, we order our food. Well, my cousin over here, he's going to get a petite steak. That's not for me, you know? I'm saying, get me a porterhouse, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I'm spending more money than you, you know? I'm going to get mine to show that I'm better than everybody else.
Okay, well, let me
focus
ask,
on me.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. If that's the case then, are you willing to engage in criminal conduct to get what you want?
I mean, who would do that? Now, that's just immoral. Now you should question yourself.
Oh, so now, you bringing morals in it, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, you have to bring morals. You can't have lots of
well,
morals.
Well, no, not if you're narcissistic. You don't care about that stuff.
But that's,
you all
see,
about
that's
what getting
I'm saying.
What you
There's
want.
So many different degrees. Like, if I'm not the next person, I'm not going to go break morals. You know what I'm saying? There's different levels.
Look, you just selfish.
No, come on. If I was selfish, I would be someone else.
No, well, you would be somewhere else. No, how's that?
I'm not going to bring it up because it's just going to go into this long, long debate, and I really don't want to do that.
No, I mean, I'm just going off what you just said. And I'm just giving you one of the characteristics of a narcissist.
Okay, for instance, my girlfriend, we went to the mall the other day, right?
Uh-huh.
She's like, oh, I need a new weave. I was like, I'm not buying you a weave. Are you crazy? You can get that yourself. I bought a $5 hairpiece. Didn't go for the $60 one.
Okay, I really don't see anything wrong with that. I'd do the same thing. But that don't make
exactly.
That wouldn't make
you
a narcissist.
Saying? So you're saying you're not gonna go out and get extra wives, spend your money, and so we're on the same playing field, right?
Nah. No, I don't think so. Maybe I'm misunderstanding you. So I'm gonna ask the board.
Let me say one more thing.
Okay.
It's the same thing. Like, remember what I told you. Everybody's doing barrel rolls. Everybody's eating pasta. You have different bubbles. You can't, like, I actually read the report on Jimmy Russell's. It was very intriguing, but I don't agree with it because I think there's more than one subset of narcissists.
May I comment?
Yes, you can.
There are. He's correct. There's somatic narcissists and there's
Hey, get a slice of pizza.
I think what it is, Mr. Talk and beautiful co-host. This is Mr. International. How you doing?
Oh, how you doing, sir?
Wonderful. I think what it is a lot of men.
Wonderful.
Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it.
I wear sandals.
Well, it's still a shoe. Keeps your foot off the ground.
Sandals, a shoe is a shoe. See, and that comes back.
Well,
okay,
see, it's just the purpose. It's the purpose and what. It's the purpose. I mean, you don't have to. It's the purpose in which you decide to make a choice to do what it is with what you have. And so a lot of what is considered to be a form of narcissism is what you call materialism. And so a lot of men and women, they just want wealth. They don't know the value of wealth. They don't even know what the definition of wealth is, and they've never had wealth, so they wouldn't know what to do with it once they get wealth, so they lose wealth, and they pursue in little increments and also larger increments over and over again, trying the same thing, getting the same results, and end up insane. And they label themselves. And so when they start to label themselves, then these labels that they put on them, which do not apply, drives them crazy because they're trying to live out the label that they put on themselves. And I think that's what's going on. You have what's called insanity.
Well, let me ask this question then. Now, the examples that he gave, you know, wouldn't that border more on selfishness than anything else?
Well,
I mean,
when you look at what they consider to be physical matter, then it has to be something to, according to that principle, that's tangible, that you can actually touch, taste, or feel. And so have that process of calcification of the pineal gland, it doesn't allow them to see any further than that. And so it's not necessarily just him. He may be successful financially doing whatever it is he chooses to do if he follows and knows what true narcissism is. He could be very successful, but not with his principles. Does that help you?
Okay, yeah, I kind of understand a little bit better now. Okay.
I had a phone call come in, so it kind of threw off my train of thought there.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Well, I have two examples, and the question is this described narcissistic or psychopathic behavior? Okay. In Mexico, the girls there are being forced to take Cardasil shots. And the other example is, in America, the Ninth Circuit has ruled that parents' rights stop at the school door.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're talking about, and not only that right there, that's why I say a lot of men and women do, they need to research what they consider to be the PTA commissions, and when you start to research the agenda and where they're getting their information from and the reason why your children are being basically taken from you, they've really already been taken from you, it's just that now they're trying to create a certain way where physically you know that they can take them physically and keep them from you for whatever period of time that they choose to do that, depending on what your response is, and then they think of another way to do that. So you have to realize and know what it really truly is you're dealing with, because in every aspect of your life, that's where they're at, unless you know for a fact that you're working backwards to get out of that system and know what the system is that you're getting out of.
Okay, my question is, are those two examples indicative of psychopathic or narcissistic behavior from those who are in positions of power that lord power over others?
It's a symptom that they knew back in the day that it was a symptom, and it's just that they said we can live with the symptom of it, and we'll change the books or we'll give definitions to what insanity is to look and mean something totally different than what it is that they're physically seeing and what they're physically going through. And so they basically just changed it. But it is the same thing, and the symptoms from that narcissistic psychological damage that they've done to themselves by the calcification of the pineal gland, I mean, they have no, how can I say it, they have no emotional attachment to what it is that they're doing, so they don't see the damage that it can cause. And so when you have that, then you're dealing with the psychopathic side of it and all the different genres that they may go in and that they practice and exercise throughout generations. And then they'll tap into those generational information, and they'll use that and to edify not themselves at this point in time. It's not about them lifting themselves up and having all the power. It's just a behavior. And the crazy thing about it is that when you have that type of power, don't know you have that type of power, but you're just doing it just because you were taught to do it. And that's that psychopathical nature, which turns into what Sigmund Freud goes into, talking about how to determine this and how to determine that. And these are determinations based upon previous literature that was that he researched, and this was from the men and women at that time who were the oppressors of those that rebelled against them. And so it's the same. They'll deal with the symptoms as long as they can continue to do what they're doing. But the symptoms are interchangeable.
All right, then. So they're interchangeable, so it doesn't really matter one or the other. They all work together, basically.
No, yeah, right. If you bake a cake in your oven, you're not going to sit back and say, hey, that's some delicious riboflavin that I tasted in there, and that's some delicious sugar and salt, and you're not going to identify every ingredient. You're going to just take it as a cake, and that's what they're presenting.
Okay. All right. That sounded so simple. That sounded so simple. I guess you can't put it any other way, especially since I'm a cake eater. I understand that. All right. All right, y'all. 3 minutes left in the show. Last chance, 347-838-8622. Get on the line. That's the only way you're going to hear the rest of it. I'm just letting you know. Okay, so, co-host, are you there?
I was typing, so I had myself muted.
Oh, okay. All right. So I just want to know, is there anything else you want to ask or, you know, comment on?
Well, you know, I was just kind of taking in the response of Mr. International, and I think what I heard him say was that he agrees that those two examples are examples of the society being narcissistic or psychopathic, which I use interchangeably. That might not be proper, but, you know, I'm just learning about this, so I think that there's continuum of, and the key for me is that there's a lack of empathy for how the actions of rulers or the actions of individuals affect other people. In other words, the focus is just on them getting what they want, whether that be a government agency, you know, or a body of legislatures, or an individual.
All right. Okay. I got you. All right. Into, let's see, Deep H2O says, it's not proper you use psychopathic and sociopathic interchangeably.
Well, some of the work that I've been reading by several authors do use it interchangeably, although I know, and they explain that there's a scale, because the narcissism can fold into sociopath and into psychopath, so it's kind of like a scale, you know what I'm saying, that evolves to from narcissism at the low end to psychopathy at the high end or at the intense level. You see what I'm saying? The behavior.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Oh, hold on for a minute, Mr. Nash. Hold on. That was my bad. I read it wrong. It says it's not proper to use. Wait a minute. It's not proper you can use psychopathic and sociopathic in the same sentence. Interchangeably. So I read that wrong. My bad.
Many of the works that I've read do.
Yeah,
and I can tell someone, all you have to do is cut the television on and watch the Army, the Marine, the Navy, et cetera. They use it interchangeably every day based upon what it is that they face around the world. So if they know for a fact that their survival is predicated on them coming back home, they're going to do what they have to do to survive. And so even though it might not be their culture, it might not be about their morals, they're taking on a persona that fits every genre of that psychopathical, psychological, however you want to put it. They have to be prepared. Their minds are prepared on that level to go in and physically accomplish what they need to accomplish by any means necessary. So you can see it every day around the world.
Right. And you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because here's a question I want to ask. Can you be a narcissist by proxy? And the reason I'm asking is, in like cases like the military, you know, you have the general basically sitting there at the big table, but you have subordinates below him. They may not believe in it, you know, or you know, go for it, but because it's an order and they have sworn to take orders, you know, they have to follow the command. So is that being a narcissist by proxy, or does that even exist?
That's an example of it right there, as you explained it, via contract. And a lot of men and women through contracts, they're being the same way, because it makes them get more and further into their programs. Anytime you sign a contract to do something that goes against your conscience, anytime you sign a contract where you haven't researched what's in the contract, every aspect of it, when you do these things right here, I mean, you're basically signing yourself your way back into this narcissistic behavior, because if you go throughout history and you research who majority of the men and women that put these contracts together have broken them already. And so that's what's happening with the Constitution. That's what happened with the Magna Charta. That's what happened over in England with the tyranny. I mean, every contract has been broke. These men and women need to realize that these contracts that we get ourselves into, whether they're verbal contracts, whether they're written contracts, or any other form of contract, you're giving away your rights. You're giving away your power. You're giving away your energy because of the way you have, you're forced to respond to it. And that comes is when you're dealing with those that are on the level of this behavior where they're actually, they may not come to your house and tell you how terrible you are, but they'll call and they'll harass you. So that's the other level of it. A lot of these men and women, they do want to be a part of this. And so then these tribunals are created to continue to conform to this, and that's why most men and women lose rights of their children. They're building more prisons. They're building concentration camps. And while they're doing all of this stuff right here, men and women are still walking around signing contracts, thinking about how much gold and silver I can get or how much of this filthy lucre I can go ahead and get that they're producing with no ceiling in sight. It has no value. So, I mean, that right there, the contracts, I think that it really, when you make a contract with yourself that I'm not going to go ahead and go further in this craziness and in this madness, it stops right here. When you make that decision and find out where you're standing, where you're at in that situation, even though you may not be a part of it, that narcissistic behavior anymore, you can stop and sit back and say, this insanity's over with. And now how do I get out of this insanity? And that comes from research. First of all, knowing who you are and researching yourself, and then exteriorly, knowing what your body's made up, knowing what your chakra levels are, your energy. When is it a good day to wear certain colors? When is it a good day to drink certain drinks or not drink certain drinks? It's holding yourself accountable, and that's the biggest thing that narcissism takes away from you is self-accountability.
Wow. Wow. I guess that answered that question. So it's safe to say that we are born into a narcissistic society. No matter how you look at it, that is just the bottom line, basically.
That's true. You're not, well, let's put it this way. It goes much deeper than that, because when you're saying we're born into it, it's the okay. Vibrational level of an infant in the mother's belly. And so yes, uh-huh. with that and it's starting on a vibrational level, it's a culture that is basically has been put into us to cause men and women to vibrate what is considered to be off frequency. And so uh-huh. they use certain drugs, chemicals, whatever it is, and they breathe certain things in the air that keeps them off balance. But the further that you dilute all these toxins out of your system to get yourself vibrating correctly, you'll be able to see exactly what it is that most men and women are telling you. And it's not going to come from all the words that we speak, but it's going to be the sincerity in the tones. And when you know that right there and you just make a decision to stand still and listen to yourself, and hold yourself accountable from that point in time for all your decisions that you make via your choices, you'll be a better man or woman.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Co-host, were you trying to say something?
No. Sorry, I was typing.
Oh, okay. We haven't heard from Robert in a while. Robert, are you there?
Oh, I'm right here. I'm working on a contracted job here. You know, so Pool Service wants a web page put together, and that's what I've been working on, listening to you all. Is that all right with you all?
Yeah, that's fine. Do you have any comments you want to make since we got you right now?
Yeah, well, you know, as I said earlier, I believe that things are changing so drastically for the good that the end result is it really doesn't make a difference whether it's true or not. If people in general, I would say the majority of which are leaving Earth anyway, if it's going to make any difference or not, I doubt it. Things are going to start going for the good. So you're going to see a lot of dark characters getting out of here with those problems. But I don't know where you're coming up with this psychotic thing. Maybe it's because of that psychologist you talked about. What was that guy's name? Started all the problems himself. I think he had all of those problems. What was that psych's name?
He wasn't the one that started it, but I think you're talking about Sigmund Freud.
Yeah, Freud. You know, I think he had the problem and wrote about it. But, you know, I think people are tending to get away from his thinking anyway. But I didn't go to college. I wasn't privileged. I'm still in college. I'm going to the UHK. You ever heard of that? University of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I'm into spirituality now. I'm really not even into spirituality. I'm into synchronicity now. I can't do anything by myself. You know, the spirit's leading my body all over the place now. So, you know, I don't know who's more psychotic than anybody else. I don't look at people that way. The way I look at people now is I don't see them as bodies. I look at the actions they take, and everybody has to grow within their own period of time. I mean, it's how can I say it? Yeah, everybody has about the same problems, but at different times. Yeah, you understand what I'm trying to say? It's like one person's happy, another person's sad, you know, that kind of thing. Another person's bipolar. Another person is sleeping. You know where I'm coming from? You can't. The way I see it is I can't categorize people because, as I say, it's coming up to the time for people to start leaving Earth. So, you know, I'm really not thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't judge people. I used to in the past a little bit, but not now. I'm, you know, even doing this page now, the request I made yesterday, Steph is coming back to me, you know, is showing me where to go and what to do next. And that's the way it's supposed to be anyway, you know.
I guess that's predicated on, okay, I wanted to say this first.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have a baby and that baby never grows and everyone that is born at the same time of that baby watches that one particular baby and don't grow as individuals, and they all pick up the characteristics of that baby, then they're all going to be what is considered to be right now narcissistic, because every single behavior of that child is considered narcissistic behavior when you look at a baby. Now imagine someone that does not have the proper information, or they have the information, but they don't know the proper application for that information. And so they're all stuck in baby stage. And so as they're stuck in this baby stage, they begin to spread out that same behavior of baby phase. And so when you do that, then you have what's called, let's create a different time zone. And then you're coming up with the Thorian calendar, and you're talking about counting a different, totally different way, because you're the opposite of what it was that was originally intended for that to be used. And so you have all this, these different, when you say that you just carry on life, and a lot of men and women do that, but what it is why are you at this point in time deciding to carry on life? And if you're considering to carry on life as usual and not judging men and women based upon certain characteristics, or not labeling certain men and women as with psychological disorders or any other type of disorder, why are you doing it at this point? And if you're not doing it, or if you are doing it at this point, then what is your reasoning behind it? Because if it's not just about you giving this information, growing this information, and killing this beast, then you're part of the problem.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Thank you for that. I think my co-hosts want to get in here also. Co-hosts, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks, Eric, and thanks, Mr. International and Robert. I was thinking that, you know, our objective today, and it's been quite interesting, I think, everybody's point of view, was to kind of look at narcissism and psychopathy from a societal perspective. And I had a note here about the objective is for power, control, and dominance over others. And, you know, some say that these psychopaths and narcissists have infiltrated all the institutions in the society, banking, pharma, politics, education, high up in the corporate world. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if that has any meaning for anybody, but, you know.
Yeah, as I say, everybody has their time. Now, you're bringing up a child growth pattern. I understand exactly what you're talking about. But you have to consider this. You're saying that there's duplication if a child isn't fully developed enough, right? You're saying that if there's other children around, they're going to emulate that other child?
Now let's put it up to date. We're talking about culture. So when you have what's called a culture, and this culture goes around the world and forcing that specific culture on every man, woman, child, whatever it is, however they want to apply it, they use that force to do that right there. The army that's behind them, having certain diseases when they show up where they don't even have to use weapons, and all these different things that this culture that they bring to any other men and women, it's going to destroy and force that culture upon them. But that doesn't make it the correct culture. It's just that that's what's been forced upon you. That's what's offered to you in limited research because the books are disappearing, et cetera. But thank goodness to the co-host and also the host of the show, we're privy to a lot of this information because there's a lot of men and women that will talk about it. And so this is the biggest threat. It's different opinions on the same subject, but no argument. Everything is for uplifting, for the education, the proper education of men and women. And so then you've taken on a different culture, and you're going against that culture, and that's the fight that's going on right now. It's a culture clash.
Okay, I understand that. It definitely was a culture clash when Genghis Khan come running through your village, right? That's definitely a culture clash.
Right, and that's. I want to say this before you.
Yeah.
It's not that that's the only culture that the men and women who are the originators of what culture is. That is not the only culture that we can identify and deal with. We can identify with any culture around this world. Why? Because we are the ones that brought that culture to those places around the world. I mean, that right there, when you're the root of a culture, if it takes on a wrong meaning, because nothing's perfect, but if it takes on a wrong meaning, then that goes from us giving it to the wrong giving the wrong information to an individual that never should have had it in the first place. Or you have an individual who was part of the collective that decided by themselves to get out of the collective and support this whole genre of culture as these different cultures are created throughout the world. And then you have the one that will sit back and just create that little infinitesimal culture, and then it grows into this little nasty thing it's growing into now.
Hmm. All right.
Well, I gave you a very good example. You see, if you're very young, a baby, you wouldn't know what the different cultures are if you never left your city or village or town. You wouldn't know. Your culture to you is what you see and experience in your surroundings, immediate surroundings. And, you got jet travel today, so that breaks things up. But you've heard of culture shock, right? You didn't mention culture shock. But there is a lot of culture shock going on when Europeans, white Europeans, come to the U.S. for the first time. Yeah, white people. coming to the U.S. from Europe, there's a culture shock when they come here. They can't believe what they see.
All right. Thank you, Robert, for that information. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to get the last words in, and we're going to get up out of here. So see y'all in about 2 minutes.
Those problems with your credit. It doesn't matter if it's late payment, bankruptcy, collections, and more. At United Credit Education Services, we guarantee to have you straightened out in as little as 45 days. Give us a call at 580-678-8257. Ask for Dorsetta or go to www.myfes.net/ddavis23. That's www.myfes.net/ddavis23.
All right, y'all. Make sure you give Dorsetta a call so she can help you straighten it out. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little help. Nothing wrong with a little help. All right. Well, we've had a very, very informative show today, and I hope we cleared up some of your thoughts that you may have had of what a narcissist is. I know there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And as me and the co-host were speaking ahead of time, you know, before we did the show, that, you know, this is a wide area. It is. It's a wide, wide area as far as narcissists and narcissism and psychopathy. And I mean, but we're not here to prove to you that it's, we're here to just give you the information. Now, what you do with the information, it's on you. But we're just giving you, we're putting the information out there because it needs to be known. I mean, especially since narcissists is used so much on Blog Talk Radio, I think it needs to be some kind of basis or foundation to what they're talking about when they mention the word. All right. But before we get out here, as always, we're going to let our guests go ahead and give their final words. So we're going to start with, I see a number down here. I ain't seen before. Okay. Area code, 254, last four, 1399. Welcome to the show. You got your last words? Hello? Hello?
There's someone there, Eric, but they're very low volume.
Really? All right, turn up your volume. Turn up your volume. We'll come back to you in a little bit. All right. So, let's see. Let me get Mr. International. Your last words, sir?
Hey, okay, thank you. I just want to say, I guess when I was listening to the song, Let's Straighten It Out, I'm thinking about the man sitting there. I don't know if a lot of men and women know the words to that song, but he goes in to say that she's been crying her eyes out, something to that effect right there for such a long time, and how they should be getting it on while she's in the process of sulking about whatever it is she's sulking. And I think that a lot of men and women might, if they read that story, that song, that's a culture clash. Because you have a man that's writing a song about a woman that hasn't explained herself or told this man certain things verbally, but he's trying to figure out what's going on. And so a lot of your actions are going to dictate whether you agree with something or you do not agree with something. And I think that's where it all begins. Black men and black women cannot have what's called basically
a culture clash per se, for the simple fact that we are not dealing with our own culture. The only time we can really truly have what's called a culture clash is when we research really truly who we are, what we have offered to the world, and what the world did with that information that we gave to them. That's when you have a culture clash. But everything else is just a response from men and women not knowing exactly who they are, where they came from, and the reason why they continue to create these different patterns of behavior that really are borderline insane, if not over the border of insanity. And with that, I digress, and thank you, Mr. Talk and lovely co-host.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, Mr. National. Well, thank you very much. All right. Let's see if we can bring Robert in. Okay, Robert, your last word, sir.
I believe that every university in the United States, well, worldwide, should make the Mr. Talk Show required class to get a credit for students should get a credit for coming in to listen to your show, because this show discusses things that's right up to the now and even spiritually. I've never seen a show like this before or heard a show like this before. I mean, and you're not going off into conspiracy theories and all of that, at least from not what I've heard. But every time I come in here, I learn something every time. I guess that's what we're supposed to be doing every day, right? But, yeah, I give my hats off to this show. I mean, it's got my interest. That's why I'm here. And continue doing it. Continue educating people. You're full of wisdom. The words coming out of everybody, that's spirit talking. I mean, I'm actually growing as a result of this room here. I really appreciate it. My heart is full of gratitude. I don't think I can say anything else.
Well, Mr. Robert, I want to tell you that the new definition for conspiracy theorist is one who questions known liars.
I like that.
All right. Well, Mr. Robert, thank you for your kind comments, sir, and we enjoy having you as well. And we look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. All right. Have a nice evening, sir. All right. Let's see if we can get these last two in here. Let's see. Antoinette, are you there?
Hello, Mr. Talk.
Hello.
Great show. Great show. It's one for the download. It truly is something to go back over again because the information is so vital for today. So thank you very much. Thank you, Sister Agonia, because I know you were studying hard.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, too. And, you know, we appreciate you very much, you know, because you keep the chat room down, and we like that. We appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I'm not any help today.
Oh, that's okay. When you're not there, we are, so it's all good. Okay,
yeah.
So thank you. And we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. All right, co-host, Sister Agonia. Well,
I'm here,
okay.
And I hope I'm not bombarding the chat room with too much information, but since we're going to continue to talk about this tomorrow, I wanted to put this, I should have put it in earlier, this article by Martha Rose Crow, because it's called the America's Darkest Secret, the 9 Stages of American Autogenocide, which, you know, to me kind of connects with the study of narcissism and psychopathy, because it's crazy folks that's running the world. So this article really breaks down, I mean, step by step in great detail exactly how this plays out in society. It is a long article, but it's well worth a read. So I hope somebody I'll get the chance to take a look at it. So tomorrow when we talk, you know, we have some more feedback. And hopefully tomorrow, Mr. Toth, if you, when you schedule tomorrow or if you have me do it, I'd like to put that link up there also for people because that really would be a guide, I think, for us to be able to discuss this without getting, you know, kind of off into broad, you know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay. And we'll make sure that's, that is in the description of the show for tomorrow.
Ain't right? There a miracle's darkest secret?
Yes, I got it. All okay. Right. Tell the folk how they can get in contact with you in case they
okay.
Want to
send messages. My address is ngonea@yahoo.com. Please, put Mr. Talk on the subject line. I'd be happy to reply. And thanks for those who have contacted me so far. I'm putting it in the chat room now, Mr. Talk.
I hear you. I hear you. All right. All right, so is that's all for you today?
Yes, I muted myself so you wouldn't hear me typing.
Oh, okay.
And bye, everybody, right. And thanks for coming. It was a good discussion.
All right. I'm sorry. I cut you off ahead of time. What'd you say?
We just scratched the surface today. We plan on digging deeper tomorrow, right?
Yes, ma'am. Without a doubt.
Okay. All right.
All right. Okay. Oh, well, my co-host done stole it from me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Yes, we just scratched the surface of this thing today, and that's all we really wanted to do because the next couple of days we're really going to get into this thing, and hopefully we'll pass on some vital information to whoever really needs it out there because we don't know who needs it and who don't, who wants to know and who don't. The only thing we can do is put the information out, and for those that will receive, we'll receive it. For those that block it, well, you just block it, you know, but you never can say you didn't know about it or you didn't hear it. You know, basically, do we live in a narcissistic society? Heck yeah, we do. We know this, you know, but I think, well, then again, I'm going to say some of us know this. Others are oblivious to what's really going on. And that's why we do shows like this, so we can awaken, you know, bring awareness to what is really going on, and hopefully awaken the masses as to how much, awaken them to self-discovery and to help them get over the hindrance that we call society today. I guess that made sense. It did to me anyway. All right. Well, anyway, if you want to send me a comment or anything, you send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com or you go to the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. I'm sorry. My email is ericletstalk@gmail.com. Okay. And Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. I always get those two confused. But, yes, you know, send me messages. I will return whatever. I mean, I'll return a message back to you if you wish. But we're always willing to hear from you. And so you let us give us some feedback on the shows so we know what direction to continue going in. I want to thank everybody that participated in the chat room today and also everyone who called in and gave their opinions as to what narcissism was in society. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today, y'all. We enjoyed doing it. We enjoyed having you. And we'll be back here the same time tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and 1 Mountain Time. All right. So until tomorrow, for me and my co-host, y'all have a good one. We out.